I certainly do not remember what you were saying. But basically, what I got from the introduction is that I'm old. And thank you very much, Eitan. It's good old days. I also wanted to acknowledge that I spent five beautiful years, precious years, I had the chus to have Yedidus with the Murad Asra. And I just wanted to tell you publicly how much I miss you. And Bez Hashem Yisbarach Hashem should help you go, Michael El Chayel, all the amazing things that you're doing. I was brought here tonight. I think my kartis knisa was that the Rav Zatzal instituted what was mentioned just now, the concept of a Shabbos tefillah. Honestly, I've traveled around the world. I've never heard or seen anything like it. I think it's a phenomenal concept. The idea that we are kehillah together. We're not just individuals that happen to be davening in the same shul, but we are struggling together to be able to become a kehillah, a tzibor, that's going to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu k'mo she'tzarich, the way it's supposed to be. And he gave me this tremendous kavod a few times to be able to stand where I'm standing now to talk about inyani tefillah. And I thought it would be correct if tonight I'm going to speak about inyani tefillah. And at the end, I want to share a few of my personal recollections of the Rav Zatzal. When I teach tefillah to the new generation, I always ask myself the question, how can I make things simple? How can I take the complex and break it down to simple ideas? One of the mahalchim that I've been doing in recent years is I take the Shmona Esrei, 19 brachos, and I break it down simply into 3, 13, and 3. The opening 3 is called Shevach, the last 3 is called Hidah, and in the middle are 13 bakashas. And those 13 bakashas is the etzem, the foundation block of what tefillah is all about. The Rishonim bring down that those 13 bakashas can be broken down into 6, 6, and 1. You have the Rashba, Rabbeinu Bachya, basically what I call the Beis Medrash of the Ramban. They see the opening 6 brachos as the brachos that talk about our own personal needs. And the second 6 is talking about the needs of Klal Yisrael. And I always like to say over again and again and again, the first 6 are the easy ones, because everyone instantly connects to the tzaras that we're going through as a prat. And the second 6, we build ourselves up to be able to think about the tzaras of Klal Yisrael and to ask from the Oymik Libeinu for those things as well. So you have 6, 6, and 1. The 13th at the end is called Shema Kolenu, which I call basically the ring that binds the two parts. I'm not going to go into it, but you'll notice that Shema Kolenu is broken down into 2 halves. They correspond to the 2 different sections. And then the first 6 and the second 6 are also broken down into 3 and 3. I promise you this is not getting more complicated. It's not going to be too complicated. Everyone's giving me that. I feel I'm back in the classroom phase. I apologize. But just stay with me. 3 and 3, and then another 3 and 3. The first 3 is what I call introductory, and the second 3 is the actual bakashas themselves. So let's go through this together. The opening 6 bakashas that we have are personal. What are the personal needs? So, as I always like to say, every person in this room, I'll leave the Rosh Hashiva out of it, okay, without you, but everyone else in this room is suffering from stress. Kachaze, okay? We all have what's called stress. And our stress, if you ask yourself brutally what stresses you out, it breaks down to 1 of 3 things. One is called social stress. The other is called health stress. Today you always have to add health stress and mental health stress. And money stress. Between those 3 stresses, it pretty much keeps all of us close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that your life is always, always stressed. That way it keeps you close. Kachazeh, there's nothing to do about it. Corresponding to that, we have Re'enu V'Anyenu, we have Rafa'enu and Baruch Aleinu. Those are the 3 major personal needs I have. They're introduced with 3 brachas, Atachayne, Hashiveinu, and Slachno. Atachayne is before I can recognize that I am stressed, and before I can recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the address. So at first I have to think. I say, I want to think the way a Ben Torah thinks, to think properly, to think with proper Hashgafa. The moment I do that, I notice, number 1, that I'm stressed, and number 2, I also noticed that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the address. Not only that, there's a third thing I notice is Hashiveinu, that I need to get back on focus, on the proper path to be able to serve the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So immediately after Atachayinu, we see Hashiveinu. Once you notice you're back in the path, Slachna, you realize that you've messed up in the last 24 hours, or since your last tefillah, and you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. So everything's very neat. The opening three sets the tone for the three needs that we have. Now let's take exactly the same concept and now let's apply it to the second six brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei. And let's see how this works out for us. Excuse me, can someone get me some water? It's possible to get some water. Atachin, the first three, very, very simple, is the preamble for the needs to bring Klal Yisrael the Geula. So Klal Yisrael is desperate for the Geula. What do we need to get the Geula happening? We have three needs. The first thing that we need is to kabe shofar gadol l'cheresenu. The son needs to kabe it's guliyasenu. The kabseinu yachad me'arba kanfus aretz. I don't even have to ask that the Rav has been talking about this for the last year, but the need for Jewish unity, the need that doesn't matter what type of person you are, as long as you recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is central to bringing the Geula, the way that you serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, each one has their own tribe, and together we go and we try and get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, together ask the different stripes and the different types of what's called Klal Yisrael. So that's the first need that we have. Thank you so much. The second is, the second need that I have is that we need to have Jewish leadership. So immediately we ask Hashiva Shevtenik of Rishayna that the leadership should be in place. And the third preamble need that we have is that after we have leadership, what's called the fifth column in Klal Yisrael, the Malshinim, Kodesh Baruch Hu should, as the Maral says, subdue them in their shitos. Lav dafka, they have to be physically destroyed, but what they stand for should be subdued. So those three are the preambles, the ones that bring the record to what's going to bring the Melech HaMashiach. Finally, we have the three that talk about the Geula process itself. And I'm going to do it backwards. You'll see why in a moment. The third and climactic need that we have is Tzemach David Avdecha, we need Mashiach. Like, duh, obviously, that's it. That's the Geula. We need the Melech HaMashiach. But before the Melech HaMashiach, he needs a place. He cannot come in a vacuum. And that's the ending of the bracha for Yerushalayim. And now I want to share with you what I want to talk about over the next 10, 15 minutes. And that is the bracha that comes before Yerushalayim. It is a bracha that bothered me for years and years and years. I know different shetlach, different pshatim in it, but something that really, really spoke to me, I only managed with Zohar to do 7, 8 years ago when my Rebbe passed away. I came to the conclusion that this is how to read the bracha. What is the bracha before Yerushalayim? Alat Tzadikim. That bracha, Alat Tzadikim, for years and years and years was an enigma to me. What is it doing over here? I have a bunch of questions. I'm just going to mention a few of them. First of all, whatever we're going to say about Alat Tzadikim, it has to be that this is part of the Geula process. Alat Tzadikim, Yerushalayim, and Tzemach Davtecha are the three steps of the Geula. So what exactly is Alat Tzadikim all about? Secondly, why do they deserve to get a shout out? Honestly, once again, I'm leaving the Rav out of this. But I think in front of me, and including myself, we're all good old-fashioned Beinonim. It's good enough for the Sefer HaTanya. It's good enough for us. We can all be Beinonim. Good enough for Rav, okay? We can be Beinonim. We don't have to be Tzadikim. And I think it would be very, very nice to get a shout out in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Why did Tzadikim get a shout out? Honestly, speaking as a person that spends a lot of my time working in Kirov, and today my Rebbe says everything we do is Kirov, okay, there's nothing we can talk about. Everything is Kirov today. Honestly, that what they call the Rishayim, those lonely souls that we try and help, why don't they get a shout out? Why don't they get a bracha? What is it about the Tzadikim that they get a bracha right over here that we scream out for the Tzadikim? Thirdly, in the bracha, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sein tzach ha-tzoy v'chol ha-boitchum shimcha be'emes. Give them their schar. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the tzaddikim and give them their schar. Last time I checked, one of the Yud Gimel Ikaros is schar v'einish. Basically, if I could translate the bracha in 10 seconds, Kosh Baruch Hu, do your job. Like, what is going on over here? Why are we telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give schar dafka to the tzaddikim? Anyhow, he's going to give schar to everyone who deserves it. Tzaddikim get their schar, Beninim get their schar, Shoim get their schar. What does it mean that we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to give them their schar? And the final one, and you're going to see the end, for me and for you, it's going to be the most important. Once again, I'll leave the rub out of it, is the words for Aleinu. What a, no offense, a ridiculous word. You have a list, a pantheon of all the great holy people in Kali Yisrael, tzaddikim, chassidim, zikni amcha b'Yisrael, Plato Sefren, Geret Zedek, don't forget us, Hashem. Now, ask yourself a question. Are you in that list? So you're in that list. If you're not in the list, why should you be in that list? Even if we can figure out a reason why tzaddikim get a shout out over here, Mehechetesi, that you should say Valena again to the, you like this question, you're back in OJ, right? So I want to give you my mahalach. Afterwards, I was zeichet to find, it's marumas already in Shibuli Leket and Rishonim. It's a little bit, those of you that like Ishbitz, I'll show you there as well. But I believe it's so MS and it so fits in, and you're going to see in a moment, it's so matin for why we're here this evening. And that is the following big idea. We're asking for Mashiach ben David. You and I know, it's Gemara Sukkah and other places, before Mashiach ben David, there's another Mashiach that's supposed to come. And by pure chance, it also happens to be that we know that he is called the Tzaddik. He's not described as a Tzaddik. Noach Hoshin is Tzaddik, right? He's described as an adjective of Tzaddik. But you have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have David HaMelech, Aaron HaKayin, Avram Avinu. Somebody is called HaTzadik. Who is that person? It's Yosef. So Yosef is the Tzadik. Next time you look at your Siddur, you'll see the name of this bracha is called Tzadikim, right? It's the bracha for Tzadikim. Tzadikim get a bracha, and the Tzadik, at least, in Chumash, what we know, the Yomid is also called a Tzaddik, but for basically the same reason. The Tzaddik is Yosef. And Yosef is also, there's a concept called Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to come before Mashiach ben David. Suddenly I have a maramakum. Suddenly I have a way of possibly looking at this bracha, that this bracha is a request for Mashiach ben Yosef. He has to come, then comes Yerushalayim, and then comes Mashiach ben David. But now comes the key to the big idea. Moshe Rabbi, Rav Moshe Shapira, Tzadik Zichrono Livracha, my wife begged me to be unabashedly tell you that after the sefer, I have the sefer that I came out, his biography, and for the ladies upstairs, Rikshi Leif, the men can buy it for their wives. There, I did it. My wife is now happy. I just wanted to say the following thing. My Rebbe said this more than once. He said, I'm just more or less saying in his words, it's healthy to think of Mashiach ben Yosef not as a person, but rather as a concept. He said it's healthy. In other words, you solve a lot of problems. Those of you who are history buffs will know that a lot of interesting characters have received the title of Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, whatever it is, I just say something I can say in a basic medrash. Napoleon, for example, was described by the rabbis, big rabbis, as Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is a person, tutzach, it's complicated. It's better to think of Yosef as a type, as a personality type, that is there to bring in the personality type of called Mashiach ben David. What's the Maramokim? Very, very simple. Parshas by Yeshev. Miketz, Vayigash, Vayachi. We're a little bit too early in the parashas, but let's just go and remind ourselves of what's about to happen, unfold in Sefer Bereishis. You have a man called Yehuda. Yehuda is already, by the time we get to Vayigash, he's already has a din of Malchus. He comes down to Goshen. What is Goshen? Goshen is the Yerusha that Parah gave to Sarimenu. He comes down. This is our place. This is a Yiddish Platz. First thing he does what Yidden have done throughout history to survive, he builds walls. That's it. The story of Galus, wherever Klal Yisrael built walls, they survived. He built the yeshiva. I'm sure afterwards he built a mikveh, and then he built a shul, and he built a seminary, and all the things that was necessary to be able to make Jewish survival, that we are disconnected from the goyim around him. Yehuda builds walls, k'mosh tzarech. But before Yehuda can come down, there needs to be a personality type called Yosef. Yosef, who comes not from Leah but from Rachel, Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim alone, a 17-year-old boy, who is the only person in Chumash who is male, who is described that his beauty was Yifas Tayer, Yifas Mara, extraordinary, beautiful, the Midrashim, borderline outrageous in Parashas Miketz, unrepeatable, about how his beauty, everyone around him was like in awe of his beauty. You put a 17-year-old young boy, you bring him down into a place that is called Erev HaSa'aretz. Yirmiyahu HaNavi gave it a nice little description, Erev HaSa'aretz, and throughout Sefer Tehillim, again and again, is called Admas B'nei Chom. It is a place of the lowest, of the lowest, of the lowest, of the lowest parts of society. Everything degraded, that's what it's all about. So you take a boy, you disconnect him from his parents, from his yeshiva, from his home. He's a kid. He's incredibly handsome. You put him in a mokoyim, like Mitzrayim, Mayas v'noyv le'yechta. Not only that, Kodesh Baruch Hu found that one woman, that she was the biggest professional in history to take down Yeshiva Bachrim. That was her omnis. That was her genius. And what happened? At the moment of truth, he was misgaber b'nisayim. For those of you into Kabbalah, at that moment he broke down Midas Yisayim into this world, which allows, Medrash brings down, for 210 years, all of Klal Yisrael. Without exception, with one exception, Shlomis Bas Divri, but without, besides her, which was a mistaken identity, the Jewish men and the Jewish women were extraordinarily beautiful, as we know from Shir HaShirim. The Mitzrim were extraordinarily ugly. They were slaves, for goodness sake. They were slaves. We know from history what masters do to their slaves when they're hefker, when they can do whatever you want with them. And for 210 years, in the lowliest place in history, all these beautiful young men and women, not a single one was taken advantage of by a Mitzri. All b'schus, that one moment when Yosef HaTzadik was misgaber and he was Eiver bin Nisayim. Neir v'ayim. Yosef HaTzadik, v'yar, okay, all the way down to Kriyas Yamsuf, in his chus, everything is his chus, that Klal Yisrael is misgaber with every single form of Yetzer Hara. So let me summarize what I just said. You have a concept called the Mashiach ben Yosef personality type, who sees something in front of him that is an impossible mountain to climb. And he climbs it, he crosses it, he passes, he traverses. And once he does that, he unleashes a Kedusha that allows Mashiach ben David, which in those days was Yehuda, to come in and to build Klal Yisrael and protect him in Galus. Let's now translate what we just learned together into the language of the final Geula, that we are, we're mamish there. We're mamish there. This is something that I'm saying that is not controversial. Finally, all of Klal Yisrael agree on something. That we're mamish ikus of the Mashiach, we're back in Eretz Yisrael, we're suffering in Galus Yishmael. Everything is happening as though it was the way it was written. And I want to share with you, for the last 10, 15 years, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira, Tzadik Zichrono Livracha, used to talk about America being chom. I remember I once came back from one of the NCSY Shabbaton, and I come back, and as Rav Moshe always did in the car, I drove him every Friday, he asked me, so what's going on in America? As I said to him, Igashi, ad kama shatarbut shel America yored miyefes lechom. And he looked at me with his piercing eyes, and he said, Matam ze yored, Menachem ze lo yored. Ze kva yarad. It's already in chom. The world is already chom. Meaning the culture of America today, which is another way of saying the world culture, the dominant culture, is the culture of chom. And in that reka of Admas b'nei chom, which is the second Mahadura of Mitzrayim of the time of Yosef, We see Yosef HaTzadik again and again and again, these personality types that are in Mitzrayim and they are doing things that do not make any sense, that simple people cannot do. Let's talk this through for a moment, just for a few minutes, just deal with the fact that I'm a frustrated mechanech. Yeah. I can ask the Rav to hold my hand now because we're in this together. What can I tell you? When I was growing up in England, I never heard of a Hamish Yid asking a Rav, is it okay to get a tattoo? Now, honestly, okay, because it wasn't even a question. Tattoos were the lowest of the lowest. Somewhere in, those of you, the British people over here, okay, in Soho, you have these tattoo parlors where the sailors would go and get their tattoos, but sinner, the most embarrassing thing ever. I remember a few years ago, since then it's happened a few times, a Beis Yaakov, a product of the Beis Yaakov, Rabbi Nissel, do me a favor, don't answer with Frumkeit, with halacha. What's the big deal about a tattoo? What am I supposed to do? Again, what am I supposed to tell her? I told her, I said to her, listen, you know, ask her if there's any of the clothing that she wore a year ago that she would be seen dead with today. And she said, no. Okay, so what makes you think in a year's time what you're going to do? To quote from a famous woman who I'm not going to mention because this is a Beit Knesset, this famous woman in America said, why would you want to put a bumper sticker on a Cadillac? Okay, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You're going to spend the last three quarters of your life saying to yourself every time you look in the mirror, what was I thinking? Did not help. She went and got it anyhow. Another example, clothing. So I'm not a big maven in clothing, whatever it is. I don't understand the whole tarbus of understanding clothing. I just remember that I have to make sure the tie is in the middle. That's basically it. But there's such a musa called dignified clothing, regal clothing, malchustika clothing, clothing that you and I would consider something that puts us, makes us look that it's not, that we're not on a tiyul, and Shabbos did Yom Tov day. Today, that clothing, you have a look at the beautiful people out there, and they look like they have freshly fought with a pack of wolves. And for some reason, this is what they call yaifi. It's ridiculous, it's scary. I once tried to ask a bunch of the NCSY chaver, I said to him, do you actually find this thing attractive? You find this thing attractive? And he looked at me and said, Rabbi Nissel, you're never going to understand. And I said, absolutely right, I'm never going to understand. I can't, I'm sorry. I'm that old generation person that actually can't understand why you'd want to buy jeans and then pay extra to have them ripped. Then you have the music that they listen to. So I'm not so proud of growing up in London in the 70s. Secretly I am. It's honestly, the music there was poetry. It was written by graduates of Oxford and Cambridge. When you learn Rashi and Tosfos into the lyrics, you find that it also refers to very lowly things. Somehow or other, it connects to drugs and other things I won't mention here. But at least it's poetry. It was poetry. It had a certain yaifi. It was written with yaifi. It was written with harmonies. Yes, Beryl, even Simon and Garfunkel. Kachazet, two Yiddish boys that I'm allowed to mention. You go a little deeper, it's all not good. Today, they don't even bother. Today, Dai L'Chakimah B'Ramiza, it's basically biology class. It's just that I can't even say more than I already just said. It's all explicit, nothing to talk about. There's no yoifi there anymore. It's just in your face, chom. It's chom, it's pure chom. Another example, and that is I can't even believe I'm saying this. To hear a boy from the yeshiva system or a girl from the Beis Yaakov system using nivel peh. When I was growing up, I grew up in what they call modern Orthodox London, and it was not unheard of. No one said bad words. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so daring. No one had a yitzhara to say those words. You'd go to the movie, in England it was called theatre, go to the cinema, and they would warn you that, you know, you should be known that the 36 minutes into the movie, there's going to be a bad word. So you may want to go like this, if you don't want to hear nivel peh. If you understand, there's a thing called malchus peh. Today, I heard this, I'm trying to figure out what the gematria of 508 is. It's a mainstream movie that everyone who watches mainstream movies has watched. that had 508 times in a movie a certain word that will not mention even Beremes, and 508 times. We started with Padawis, Kamika, Kamachia. What? Of 508. I'm trying to think of something cool. The bottom line is that, what? Shachar, okay? Yeah, Ayelas HaShachar, there, this is all Simon of Mashiach, perfect. So that everything, even the Nivopet comes with the Chet. It's not a normal thing. Finally, at least I'm going to get finally to my main point, is the Malchus itself, because everything is a reflection of the Malchus. I remember, I don't want to talk politics in the Beis HaMedrash, when a certain person put his hand to the ring to be a president, and everyone said, it's not going to happen. I'll just mention he was from Chicago, and Ramesha said, everyone said, Le'etachem, they're never going to have that such a person. And he said, no, he's going to get in for 8 years. He said, how do you know? Quote, Magia l'America, Malchus Shulchan. And since then, all the Malchus has been Malchus Shulchan. Malchus Shulchan means Malchus without covet. I know I'm British, there's a lot of Americans over here, so it gives me extra pleasure to make fun of you. But honestly, I was secretly hoping to have like a Trump-Biden combination, which would give me 4 years that every time I wanted, I could just have an unhinged meltdown, two-year-old temper tantrum, and then just forget about it afterwards. Never happened, because Baruch never gave you the second half. But the point is that you have to understand, Chom is not just, it's not just the chitzenis of Chom. Chom means that if a person, how shall I say this nicely, he tweets from the toilet. Okay, everything that passes through his brain, immediately he writes down to his millions of followers within seconds. That is not Malchus of Yefes. There's no Yefi anymore. Everything is Chom. Everything is Chamim. Everything is impulsive. It just occurred to me very recently that the Shittas bring down that Edoim has 10 different permutations and commutations. And we have a Masera from Reb Chaim of Elazhin that the 10th one is going to be America. I heard this from Reb Eli Weintraub. And it occurred to me that America is the only Malchus in history, and once again, my Europeanism is coming out, that was set up to be not a Malchus, to be a presidency. But they still managed, you still had, I'm old enough over here, I mean, I know I sound ancient now, to remember Ronald Reagan when he was a little bit, he had a sense of pride that he was representing a thing called Malchus. It's still gone. So now I want to get to my point. We're living in a world, again, I'm quoting my Rebbe, he said that every 3 months is a new dawn. We're dealing with challenges where we're living in a world that is kulei chom, kulei loneliness, and we get sucked in. We don't even realize how the world has changed. The main reason why it's changed has been the internet. That's been the engine of what has brought the world from yefes to chom more than anything else. And we're in it, and we're part of it, and we breathe it in the air, wherever we go, even here in Eretz Yisrael. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? I need heroes. I need heroes to bring the Melech HaMashiach. I need tzaddikim, chassidim, zikni amcha beis Yisrael, pleitz sefrem, and ger etc. I need those five categories. And those people are going to stick themselves out, and they're going to put their heads into places where everyone is going to say that you're crazy. Why are you doing this? Are you out of your mind? And they're the ones who are going to be the Yosef HaTzadiks of Toshin Pei Hei. That's what we need. We need heroes to bring the Melech HaMashiach, and that is what the Bracha al HaTzadikim is all about. From that comes from Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim will come as Tzemach Tovet Avtocha Meheretz HaTzmiach. So let me go through this with you briefly. Al HaTzadikim. So here, the classic example of al HaTzadikim for me are the teenagers that I work with, who are Mesa Nefesh for Yadus in a way that is unfathomable in the obstacles that they have to face. I'll give you one example and then I want to move on to the next category. Years ago, I came from a Shabbaton, NCSY. I met a young man who wanted to go to yeshiva even before the mamash at the very beginning. He wanted to go to yeshiva And he had a nisayon, which today is very, very common. In those days, it was much less. A nisayon that, once again, I cannot mention the shul. And he said to me, I have this nisayon, no yeshiva will ever take me. And I said to him, thinking that I'm doing the responsible thing, I said, listen, if I was in your place, I would not want to become from. Honestly, I think you're crazy. I would just get out of here, go to the Midwest, go to Memphis, Tennessee, right? And live happily ever after. And don't even try the from world. Forget about, you know, we're very judgy. I mean, amongst ourselves, we have this problem that we like to judge people. And you're going to be the guy. You're never going to get married. Every time you go to Shabbos, you'll see the parents are whispering to the kids. It's going to be awful. I described to him how difficult his life is going to be if he wants to become a Ben Torah. And then he says to me the following words, I'll be my asset. What am I going to do? It's MS. There's a God in this world. He gave us the Torah. And the Torah says that I'm not allowed to act on my feelings. I have to work on myself. That is MS. There's a din v'cheshbon after 120. There's a kid talking to me. And he recognized that he needs to be miskaber. And he needs to get over this thing. And he's prepared to do whatever it takes. He knows it's wrong. And he has to be, only ben nisayon. That Friday, I'm driving my Rebbe. And as he is, he always asks me for stories. And I told him exactly what I have. I said, Rebbe, did I say right? He said, you messed up. Okay, this is not good, okay? Whenever anyone that knew Rav Moshe Shapiro, so just look at this picture over here. You don't want to get this person saying to you, you messed up. I said, what should I have said? It's exactly what I would have said to him. He said, there's going to come a time very, very soon Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach's going to come, we're all going to go and greet him, all the tzaddikim, all the Rosh Hashivas, Gedolei Hadar, the heads of institutions. Mashiach's going to be that kind of person that loves Klal Yisrael. He's going to go into the crowd and he wants to say Shalom Aleichem to everybody. He's going to say he's Av Yisrael, he's Belikvul, Belik Tachlis. He's going to love every Yid infinitely more than you and I could love the biggest tzaddik or the most beautiful child. He says, when the Melech HaMashiach meets this young boy and he asks him, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? Who are you? Tell him in my name to answer the following way. I am the one that brought you here. You hear that? I am the one that brought you here. I am, in the language of my class, the Mashiach ben Yosef, that causes the Mashiach ben David can able to come. And there's hundreds and hundreds of young men and young women who are going through the Zisyanis. There are Mamish, the 2024, here I have to say it correctly, Tafshin Pei Hei, version of what Yosef went through in Mitzrayim. Today you don't have to go to Mitzrayim. Today you can carry Mitzrayim in one of these little things. Ala Chassidim. Chassidim, one of the Persian Chassidim, which fits into what I'm saying, are people that start Chesed organizations. I know where I am over here. I know the kind of people in front of me, but I don't want to be Marek over here. But you know who they are around you. People who open up chesed organizations, it's no end of hard work. Normally they went through something, they saw a need, and they decided something needs to be done, and they go out and they do things. I'm missing it. I'm going to skip Zikne Amcha B'Yisrael because I want to get back to it. Plato Seferim, this is where I'd like to think that I come in. Is the Rebbe's. The Rebbe's, trust me, we don't do it for the money, because there's no money. We do it because we love your kids, and that's it. I know that I'm going to go, you know, answering WhatsApps with questions that I get till 2, 3 in the morning, because whatever, this is what the Tzitzis Seferim do. Ger Atzedek, again, I don't want to be marich, but anyone that met a Ger in our days knows how difficult it is and how crazy it is. Why would you want to join a nation that the whole world thinks that we're a bunch of genocidal animals? What do you see in us? And if you actually see through their lies, we're still crazy. We're the nation of Erev and Kippur. We spin chickens over our heads. Well, what do you want from us? Leave us alone. And they join us anyhow. So now I want to talk about Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael. Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael is not talking about Gedolim, because they, as we mentioned, had their own bracha, Hashiva Shefteini Kavarishena, the return of Jewish leadership. Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael is referring to people who are builders with Mesiris Nefesh, that do things that go across boundaries, that are not afraid to do what needs to be done, to build institutions. And honestly, I do not wish this on my best friends when I know these people. I know these people very intimately. First time I spoke here, the Rav Zatzal, Friday afternoon, he comes into where I was staying with the Rosenblums. He has a check he wants to give me, based on the Shita, which I'm sure the Rosh Hashiva knows exactly where it was from, that you should pay before I actually do it. I honestly have done dozens and dozens and dozens of Shabbaton around the world. It's never happened to me since, never happened to me before. This kind of behavior is kind of yashrus, and this was just the warm-up. After that, because I am a people watcher, and I saw how he acted, it's very humbling to know that a man dumbens Masikim, and he comes back to hear your drasha, and he sits over there with his sikli, with his farm, all that he's going through. And I start to watch a person, and then slowly but surely, the stories start to come out. And again, I'm objective, I see this from afar, and I travel around the world. This is a Rav, a Shul Rav Shulpam. He did not belong to our era. Maybe it's why Kadosh Baruch Hu took him so young. He did not belong. I've never seen someone who is Meisa Nefesh, who is Balabatim, fearless. He does not care what people said. His engine was this meter of Yashrus and MS that brought him to every single place that he achieved. The Erev Yom Kippur, he got shyless about whether to fast or not, and he was a little bit more machmed than Nesi Rosh Hashem Zalman. He was very, a little bit machmed that people should fast. The moment Yom Kippur was over, he calls 15 to 20 phone calls. 15 to 20 phone calls to make sure that they fasted all right. This is not normal. This is just an example. I heard from a family member a few other examples, but I realize there's a suffix that maybe people over here know what he was referring to, and they're all a little bit, but he went out on an edge for people that had gone through crazy situations. I know this also from the side of the seminary world. If he believed something was MS, and he had this antennae for MS on a higher level than everyone else, then he would do what it needed to do, ada saif, to make sure that it got done. That is what we say, Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael, is together with the Tzaddikim and the Hasidim and the Seferim and the Gerat Tzedek, and these people who are bringing Mashiach by doing things that no one else has the capability of doing except for these people. Now I understand a little bit what it means for Aleinu. We look at ourselves. Why are we sitting here tonight? We're sitting tonight over here to give tribute to our hero. But it's not enough to give tribute like a hero. This is not an obituary at the back of a magazine. This is because we need to say, if we cannot be him, we can ask ourselves, what did he do that we could try and be part of? In other words, if you cannot be in this list, if you cannot be in the pantheon of the heroes that bring the Melech HaMashiach, you can at least say, these are my people and these are my inspirations. When we say the Simcha Keinu Mehem, excuse me, when we say the words, the Saint Sachato, give them schar, obviously the schar in Shemaim is Ada Seif. Only the schar is without end for these people. But we want to be able to see the schar. We want to be able to see with our own eyes how these people are noticed and acknowledged, because we're living in a jar that has so many challenges and so many difficulties, and it's so hard to be a Ben Torah Yid here in Eretz Yisrael with everything we're going through. So we need to be able to see these heroes. The classic example is always Mordechai. You ever wondered, he did not want, I promise you, I never asked this to Mordechai, a Yehudi, he did not want to go on a horse through the streets of Shishon. This is what's not missing in your life, right? You do not need to go on a horse through Dan Ruchab Dizengoff. It's not what's missing in your life. Well, you know what? First of all, for another reason, this is because I always picture Achashverosh the way they are in the coloring books. Achashverosh was, how do you say this nicely, a plus-size monarch. And Mordechai is always like, Mordechai. He must have looked ridiculous wearing Achashverosh's clothes. Okay, that's one thing. But even without that, there's no way. Mordechai goes down the streets, of the main streets of Shushan. No wonder he wanted to run straight back to his sackcloth and ashes. But he goes, and as he's going down, all the Yidden watch him and say, that was the ultra-Orthodox Haredi fanatic. Everyone looked at him and said, Rabino Eloko. And now they look at him and see the cover that he gets. That is instant tshuva. That is instant wake-up call. That is exactly what we need to be doing now when we remember the ways of the Rav Zatzal. And what he did over here, what he instituted over here, what he unleashed chidushim again and again in what it means to be a Rav of the Beis Knesset that we have not seen in the four corners of the world, and how we ask ourselves to be mamshich, and if we can't be mamshich, to at least acknowledge and identify and say, this is what is my hero. This is what I look up to. This is what I want to be part of. And then you are the aleinu in that list over there. So I want to ask now the Eivishter, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to have Rachman Mol of Klal Yisrael, and that Mashiach, when he does come, Bimher V'Yameinu, will have to do a stopover over here to remember and to give tribute to the heroes that brought him, and a man like Rabbi Milinowitz Tzadik Zichron Livracha, who did so much to be Meisa Nefesh for his community and for Klal Yisrael and for everything that he saw all the time to be able to fix and make better. And we should be zeich from here, Yemeinu, to laugh together when we get to find Yerushalayim and the Esenach David Avdecha Meher Tetzmiach. We should zeich to be see it in here, Yemeinu. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Shalom Shalom Aliyah. It's always great to see the women's family. Thank you all for coming. The Rebbetzin. The books are available in the back of his medrash. I would like. Thank you.